That's right, fans of AFL Fantasy Football. It's time for the People's Prince, the father of fantasy, and everybody's favorite humble genius, Jock Riddles. Over to you, Jock.
G'day, Kevin. Here you go. It's Jock Riddles here. Thursday night, it's community night, and we are already in the bloody round nine. Collingwood and Adelaide are playing as I record this casting of the pod, and thought we'd still crank one out Thursday night. We went Wednesday night a bit earlier in the year, but we had a bit of a chat and decided let's just stick to the bloody structures. So we're sticking to our podcast structures here regardless of the game tonight. I've got it recorded on the thing, and I'm going to go and watch it after this. Notice Charlie Cameron. We're early doors, second quarter. He's knocked out 23 in the first quarter for Adelaide. Have a good hard look at Charlie Cameron. Heaps of people thought he'd get the vest. Looks like Matty bloody Crouch has got the vest. Charlie Cameron's gone. Thank you very much. I'll have myself a game and I'm going to stamp myself on the fantasy footy environs. My name, of course, is Jock Reynolds. Thank you very much for tuning in. Hope you're arcing up for a huge weekend. Let's get straight into the community because that's what this bloody night's about.
Jock, just ringing you from my deathbed, boys. 13 players on the field. God help me, give me strength.
Thanks for calling in your time of need, Chaz, because you're not alone, bloody Ranger. You'd be very clear on that, you're not alone. You're feeling some pain. I just need you to get up off that sick bed. Get out a bit of paper and map your way through the rest of the season, son. Because I'll tell you one thing in this caper, it will chew you up and it will bloody spit you out if you don't learn lessons. And it's all right to make mistakes. It's all right to forget to plan for things like your buys. But what you have to do is pick yourself up, learn from it and become a better fantasy footballer, mate. We're here with you. You know, we're not going to judge you. We're a community of bloody brothers and sisters that help each other through these times. You'll be right, mate, and we can bloody do this thing.
Jock, Pollack. Remember how he ran out last season? He didn't. Or the season before that. He's almost played as many games now for Port as he did for Brisbane in 3 years, I think it was. So, time to go. Just get rid of him. Go, you know, 100 grand, you can get a nice premium. Or for 200, you can get Pendles if you've got the cash. Blake Akers, grab him this week. He's a Jet. And if you've got someone like Flipper, who's got a pretty high break-even now after his 12... Just that looks like a pretty good option. Next week, Tyson. Same situation as Pollack. Has hardly played any AFL football. Can't expect him to keep going the way that he is. Made the bulk of his cash. Ideal to sell for maybe less than 100 grand. That would be an absolute steal. Anyway, hope that helps out. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, decisive and bloody brilliant pie man as always. And I agree with you on Pollack. Put some significant thought into Pollack. We have workshopped that in the Inner Sanctum this week, and I believe it is time for Pollack to go. I actually pulled the trigger on Pollack and turned him into Dane Swan before the game that's going on now. I just had a look at bloody Dane Mississippi plump Swan. He's not bloody doing much, and you'd want to pull his finger out of that fat ass pretty quick. I'll give you the big tip. But anyway, I've gotten rid of Pollack. He's not going to go up in price, obviously. He is going to provide you 50s and 60s. I do expect his form to begin to drop off. I do not believe he can sustain this for the rest of the season. He hasn't got the full season form lines behind him. So I respect your decisiveness on that. I do think it's time to move Jared Pollack on, especially where the leap from a Pollack up to someone like a Swan, or I know, bloody, what's his name, the Sloan Rangers playing, but people are looking at Selwood, if not next week, even better next week, because his price is going to go down. This is the environs to move on Pollack. Blake Akers was the other man you brought up. What a kid. And hats off to the recruitment team at St Kilda, who, you know, Billy Longer hasn't come on as much as we wanted, and I've had a chat to Rich Hale about that, but that bloody proud of the recruitment team, and I pass my congratulations on today. The other thing you mentioned is, could you go from a maybe next week? If for those that haven't gone Pendles, that chose to go with Gary Ablett and left Pendles aside, bite the bullet and cough the 200 grand up for Pendles. Personally, I think in the environs we're faced with this year, where rookies were that bit more expensive and it is harder to generate cash, I think it is a bit too much cash to pay, even though Pendles looks like he's scored 85 in the first bloody quarter tonight. Flipper Robinson was the other one you mentioned. As it happens, he's out. I knew something was wrong last week where he hardly... What, he had three bloody handballs. I'm not sure things are all hunky-bloody-dory with Flipper Robinson, which disturbs me because I love the kid and I'm not bloody afraid to say it here on National Podcast, whatever the bloody hell I'm doing here. I want to know what's going on. I'll be making a call tonight and I will try and let the community know via the Twitter or the Facebook. If you're not following the Twitter and Facebook page, just do it. Yeah, because this is where the community just gather together in fellowship on the social medias. Social medias and the platforms and on the iTunes and the iPhones. That's where it all bubbles around and on the internet-based website as well. We started out a while back as a Thursday night focus session at Hungry Jack's down there in Carrum Downs for a bit. Higo convinced me to come onto the interwebs and here we are. So really get amongst it and click the buttons and join us and notifiers go out and a message comes on Twitter and it says that we've just put things up. So that's a good spot to go. So Flipper Robinson's out, so of course, if you've got Flipper Robinson, his break-even was up there and the time to take him is now as well, so I'd have no hesitation in going from a Flipper Robinson to someone like Akers. Even thinking about Billy Hartung, yeah, he's got his bye this week, but he looks a quality kid, should get you enough games throughout the season, should provide good backup, with that little possibility that towards the end of the season you can go from a Hartung up to your last, you know, it could be your last middle defence upgrade.
Hey Jock, thanks for all your advice over the last couple of years. I'm looking for your opinion on culling your rookies this round, as not all of them are fully appreciated at the moment, therefore they're not going to give us the most bang for buck for our investment on them. If we hold on, we can quite possibly get a full premium team, but if we don't, we may run the risk of not having the cash to upgrade completely to a full primo team.
Thanks for the call in, Brian. I think it's just about picking your targets, Sam, and having a good close look at your break-evens. It still remains as simple as that. I think there's a tendency to maybe think the way you're thinking about holding on to rookies for a bit longer because of the lack of satisfaction we're getting this year with not making as much money off them. Of a Jimmy Ace, we bought him in at a higher premium, so we're thinking, well, geez, I want to make a bit more money. We still have to be as ruthless with these rookies when they reach that sort of 350, even 300 price mark with lopping their heads off promptly. And not hanging around with little turds in the team for too long. Because the longer you hang off a turd and you hang off a trade, who can we think about? Well, let's have a think about bloody Polek, right? You might think, well, I'll hold on and he might make 100 and he might make me 15,000. So I'll hold on and wait for that 15,000 because that way I'll be able to jump up a little bit easier. But in the meantime, you could have used that cash to turn that cash into a younger rookie that'll appreciate 60 grand a week. This is where the skill of turning your money over at the right time, it's like the bloody share market. Most of you know that I'm Buffett-like in my share in folios and environs. No, I'm not. I can't bloody back that up. But if I was in the share market, I'd be a fearsome bloody wolf. Always thought that. But I'm not into making money. I'm into making community. I'm into building young men into fine fantasy footballers, mate. It's all about timing. It's all about being savage and knowing how to roll your money over into places where it'll appreciate or grow quicker. In summary, just trade them out, mate.
G'day, Jock. Big Ben here. Just thought I'd drop you a line and let you know my words of wisdom for the week. First of all, I'll have 21 players in the paddock this week, which I'm pretty happy about. My trades will be Polek to Swanee, Aish downgraded to Akers, and Laidler downgraded to Tippett in defence. This will continue to give me cash generation in the weeks to come with the players that I mentioned getting on the field. All of my rookies in the bench play except for one, which will enable me to cover any problems that arise in the coming weeks. Next week I'm pulling the trigger again three times, and this will leave me only one rookie and one midfielder to upgrade for a full premium team on the field, and leave me 11 trades. I've traded aggressively to get to this point, but I'm sitting on about 700k in the war chest and figure I'll have a full premium team on the field with 9 trades remaining for the rest of the season. Any small injuries or suspensions will be covered by rookies from here, and I'll treasure my remaining trades as much as the Saints treasured 1966. Thanks, mate. Those are my words of wisdom. Love the podcast.
No, I treasure your contribution to the community and your beautiful wisdom, Big Ben. That's marvellous. Isn't it interesting, the theorems that we theorise about regarding the pace of trading that we deploy during a season, and there is a growing body of evidence in the community focus sessions that we regularly run that the way to go is to have a flurry of corrective trades at the beginning of the season, your first handful. Wait it out. There's a little period of a lull while rookies mature. And this year it just happened to happen at buy time where we have three trades per week for 3 weeks running. Have another flurry of trades until you can get your side to full premium, ideally around, let's say, around 12 or 13, you're happy with a full side, and just back yourself in with the other rookies you've got to cover you for injuries, or just to have a handful of injuries left for the rest of the season with a bit of a war chest, like Benny says. There's a growing push for this sort of approach to your fantasy football rather than the traditional method of really holding your trades. Of course, some of us go back to days where we had four trades and we are very conversative about what we do with our trades and when we deploy them. And maybe, you know, just like the AFL game has changed, okay? No such thing as a set position forward pocket. He's not playing the forward pocket, he's playing up in the guts. I think we play our game in the guts of the season now where we just deploy these trades, get our teams to full premium and then hang in for the ride. Maybe it's more risky, but maybe it really gives you a chance to excel in this bloody caper. Wonderful calling, son.
Hello, Jockton community. You know, I've been really looking forward to bringing in Rory Sloan. In fact, that's been part of my preseason, was after the buys, bringing Rory Sloan, because he's just a dynamic scorer, doesn't get the hard tag that goes to danger, and we have the same surname, although it's a very annoying E and unnecessary on the end of his name. But anyhow, so I was sliding him in for Dunstan, and then I looked at my team and I saw that I don't have any dual position players in my midfield. So that said, and it's time to do that because you need that kind of flexibility going down the stretch when trades are a little bit thinner. So I'm going to go Bartel for Dunstan rather than Sloan for Dunstan. And hopefully soon, or maybe even swing up Billings next round, so I have my forward and defender swings in there. Good luck, everyone.
Matty Sloan from the New York wing of the Jock Reynolds fantasy footy community. Yeah, Rory Sloan needs to come higher up in everyone's radar in terms of a super elite now. Just keeps getting the job done. Now, Matty, or Throttle Finger, as some of us know him from the comments on the website, you've identified a very important thing in your team, and that is opening up dual position channels. We talked before about having a more aggressive trade strategy. Really important component if you're going into that aggressive trade and a build up to full premium is making sure you're making best use of your dual position players. And I believe you've done the right thing in making the decision to put Bartel in the middle, because he opens up a swing pair with someone in your defence. Very wise fantasy football.
Hey community, I'm just going to remind you guys the importance of the emergency loophole. If you're in a nice cushy position like some of us, with 22 or more players available, this week you can use the emergency loophole with your rookies. What I mean is, have your most likely best candidates on the bench and slap the E on them. For example, I have Murphy and Louis Taylor on the bench, Crouch and Akers on the field. By the time we hear this, we'd know whether Crouch is sub or not, but for me though, Louis plays on Saturday arvo, Akers plays on Sunday arvo. If Taylor's a sub, then don't worry, nothing to see here, move right along. But if Taylor scores, say, a 70, and Akers is named sub, or you feel as though Akers won't beat Louis' score, you have 70 points up your sleeve, just swap Akers, and in my case Murphy, like any other loophole you do. I'm using my team as an example, but you get my point. What if you gamble on running Akers over Taylor? Taylor plays a full game and Akers is named sub. You haven't named an emergency and you've lost out. You have nobody to swap Akers with and his score stinks up your field. I guess my point is, subs aren't named until about an hour before the bounce, and with the bye, players are giving us flexibility. We can try and extract as many points as we can with our loopholes. I'll be doing it with Langdon and Cutler and Akers and Taylor. In the end, their scores may not even be counted in the best 22. But in the off chance that one of them pulls a James Ash and has a blinder, only to be on the bloody bench, you'd be spewing. Any time throughout the year that you get this chance, it can be the difference between winning and losing, or tens to hundreds of ranking places. Just my two bob for the week. Keep up the awesome work, lads and ladies. Until next time.
Terry, after that wisdom, let's just say I wake up in the morning with a bruise on me chin, son. Bloody wonderful.
G'day, Jock. Here going crouching. This is the Stewart here. going to impart some wisdom on the community using all three trades this week. Firstly, trading Suckling for either Sloan Ranger or Bartell. I can achieve that through swinging Tommy Lagden, who's in my midfield, and swinging him into the back line. Secondly, Daisy Thomas down to Blake Akers to make some cash, as Daisy has done stuff all year. And lastly, for the owners that chased points like me with Jackson Merritt, going to upgrade him to Charlie Weekend at Bernie's Dixon, which will be handy flexibility with a forward ruck eligibility, especially with those that have got Fraser Thurlow in at R4. Cheers, guys.
You little bloody ripper, the Stewie. I'm going to play this other one, Stewie, but I'll get back to you, mate. I'm not forgetting about this one. There's a similar one I want to play, then I'll address Weekend at Bernie's and the ruck security situation.
Hello, Jock Reynolds. This is the regular. My question is, the cheapest ruck forward swing that might get some game time this year?
Righto. Now, first of all, on that one there, the regular, and thanks for your question, mate. We haven't got much top there. We've got Fraser Thurlow from Eshton. If he was going to get a gig, he would have gotten it from now. So I don't think we're going to get game time out of him. There's another boy fluffing around Richmond or something. I don't think there's any quality in terms of cheap ruck forward eligibility. Charlie Dixon is the obvious ruck forward who is back on the field now, is doing great things in his state of death, is capable of premium output, especially if you have Rioli and you're looking for a trade option. I believe he should be very seriously considered. One thing I want to make sure the regular that you're on top of, and this is a good one to think of, even if you have Charlie Dixon in your forward line, but you don't have a ruck forward in the ruck division to swap him with, it doesn't matter because Charlie Dixon still provides you backup. Let's think of the event. Sandy Lange, he's going to go down at some stage. It'll bloody happen. His tail fall off, or, you know, his head will fall off or something like that. He's just too big. Let's say Sandy Lange goes down. We still have Charlie Dixon to cover him in that event, because what you do, you'd press the sub on Sandy Lange. The trade interface lets you get Charlie Dixon and put him up to replace Sandy Lange, and then you could trade a forward into your team. So I still think there is some real validity to bringing Charlie Dixon into your forward line, not just because of that bloody fancy pants stuff, which is secondary, but because he is a rare forward who I believe has the capacity to score significantly, but he's got that other little feather in his cap that he could save you from a Sandy Balls disaster.
G'day, Jock. How you going, mate? We, as a community, should be doing all we can not to get sucked in to Shannon Hearn, the Birdman. After a closer look at his statistics, since 2009, he's averaged 102 in wins and 71 in losses. That is a 30-point gap between losses and wins. That is atrocious. And he's always bloody injured. He's burnt many before. I don't think we can trust him. There's better value out there, such as Sam Docky from Carlton at 285. I believe him and her will have the same output. So we should be looking to bring in Doherty instead of Hearn. Don't get sucked in, boys. You regret it. Thanks, Jock.
Jock, mate. Black Doc here. Got a bit of wisdom to share. I went to the community last week, and we came up with a foolproof plan, and that was to swing Luke Parker from the forward line to the midfield, which allowed me to have six on-field forwards who were scoring. This week, I'm swinging him back, and I'm upgrading Sam Lloyd to Dane Swan, and Aish to Selwood, and then Pollock down to Blake Akers, which gives me plenty of money in the kitty, and two primos in. Got a full scoring team, and it just goes to show how smart this community is, and how talented you are as our leader. I keep getting emotional. And just how important dual position players are. Hey Jock, Lepdog here again. Just in regards to my last message, Robinson has been dropped, so he'll be getting traded instead of Lloyd. Thanks, mate.
Righto, community. I have to tie this one up a little bit early this week. Couple of other players I want you to be aware of. Benny Lennon from Richmond's back in. Clay Beams from Brisbane Lions back in as well. He could prove relevant. Jed Buse, first game for Geelong. Looks like this Cameron boy from Adelaide is getting the job done tonight against Collingwood, so we could have an option there before too long. Joel Tippett in defence is a bubble boy, is named, is on the ground. Looks a good trade down even from his teammate Luke McDonald. One that you can make some cash off. Have a wonderful week. You'll hear from us, Sunday night, myself, Peter Higo, Higgin Boyfriend and the Crouching One. Always remember our friends at the Telstra store in Malvern. They are a fantastic mob. If you're after a new phone deal, you want to get off one of the other mobs onto Telstra with some real good quality reception, get on them now. Hit the banner on our website. They're a great mob. Also, check the show notes, because one of our good mates here at the community, the Pie Man, Sharon, his little spreadsheet about how he plans his trades and how he plans his structure and his team building, well worth a look. Have a good weekend. I'm Jock Reynolds.